From Camp Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm your host, Alan Young. The end of September marked the deadline for Governor Gavin Newsom to sign or veto the bills passed in this year's regular legislative session. The new laws, as well as the proposals that were denied, will have real-world impacts on millions of Californians. These decisions reveal where Newsom is steering our state, and perhaps how he continues to position himself on the national stage as he enters his final 2 years in the governor's office. Today we're joined by Dustin Gardner, co-author of Politico's California Playbook, to break down the bills, their effects, and what they signal about the governor's priorities. Dustin, great to have you on.
Hey, Alan, good to be with you.
Let's start with the AI bill, because this was a big one this year. Nancy Pelosi, many Silicon Valley tech companies were against it, including OpenAI. However, Elon Musk chimed in. He was for it, as was actor Mark Ruffalo, the guy that was in The Hulk, and other Hollywood stars. Remind us what this AI bill did and how did it become the talk of California?
Yeah, I mean, this really was the biggest legislative fight of the year. And this bill, SB 1047 by State Senator Scott Wiener, it basically would create safety guardrails around the development of AI and require companies that are developing large-scale AI models to have safety assessment testing on the front end. It's a pretty wonky proposal, but it's, you know, really would have been one of the first efforts in the world, especially in the U.S., to regulate AI at a large scale. It got controversial because Governor Newsom and a lot of, you know, the Silicon Valley folks you mentioned, really wealthy tech figures like Ron Conway or Gary Tan, you know, mega wealthy venture capitalists, they are concerned that it could stun development in the field and really kind of throw California off the track of being the pioneer for a lot of AI development.
Weren't these the same guys that were begging for regulation, like on the federal level, just a year ago?
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly right. But what we've seen from big tech is really that they want this to happen in Congress. They don't want it to happen in California. I think part of the reason for that is, you know, the California legislature, it's a lot more democratic. It's a lot more progressive. And we've seen in the past that California state lawmakers can often be a lot more aggressive in the way they write regulations for tech, you know, around things like privacy, safety for children. And, you know, big tech has a lot more sway in Washington, D.C. And, you know, historically, they've had a lot more effectiveness in shaping bills that are made there versus in the California legislature.
So you mentioned the protecting children, protecting other, you know, certain populations. The governor's been big on this stuff related to tech in the past. Why do you think the governor decided to kill this bill?
You know, the governor has been a longtime ally of Silicon Valley. I mean, that's not necessarily new. He, you know, since his days as San Francisco mayor, he's often been one that's aligned with the sector. But, you know, in his veto message, the governor said that this bill was just written too broadly. He said that safety guardrails around AI large models should be narrowly tailored and focused on things that involve sensitive data or high risk systems, like such as emergency response systems. He said this bill was written so broadly, it could apply to even the most basic AI functions. And so I think the governor has that longtime relationship with Silicon Valley, but he's also been someone who really is outspoken about wanting California to be the laboratory for AI. And this comes, you know, as California is relying on AI to help fuel the comeback of places like San Francisco. And that comeback is what could help the state address its budget deficit as it tries to lure back tech industries that have been looking at other states.
So switching gears, Dustin, I want to talk about this new law to require health insurance to cover in vitro fertilization. This has become a big talking point on the presidential campaign trail. How will this new law work in California?
Yeah, so governor has really treated this as a big swipe at Republicans. He signed this bill that requires large health plans to cover IVF and also cover it for same-sex couples and others that might traditionally not have had that coverage through their insurance or through their health plans. And he framed this, you know, as California is supporting family choices for IVF at all levels. And he said this is contrary to what he calls Republicans' efforts to limit access to IVF in some states that have proposed rules limiting the way that embryos are handled by health professionals. The governor just a couple months ago had a whole ad campaign around this in states like Alabama, for example, red states that have had some controversial legislation about embryos that, you know, that basically would be considered human life at the early stages, and therefore it complicates what health providers can do with those embryos. And so, yeah, Newsom is used as an attempt to really kind of dig into those culture war issues in a way that makes Republicans uncomfortable by saying, you know, we're making IVF more accessible, not less accessible.
So I remember when former President Trump came out and advocated for basically the same policy. There was a lot of stories about, you know, who would pay for this, big costs. What do we know about the impact here in California on premiums?
Yeah, I mean, the estimates are that it will increase premium costs for most people. But, you know, we're talking about a couple of dollars per month. I think that the estimate is about $4 per month for most health plans. And the argument from Newsom and a lot of Democrats in the Capitol was, you know, that that's worth it for a lot more people having access to this kind of care and treatment. And, you know, there was just not a very clear landscape around what insurers had to provide in the past. And so I think even though there is that premium cost, the governor and Democrats seem pretty confident that this is popular with the majority of Californians, given the amount of the cost.
Do you have any sense of how people will be alerted to this, or is this one of these things where, you know, the start of next year, it's just something that people in need of IVF can proceed and get?
You know, I think there's a lot to be done in the next couple of months in terms of how the state shapes the rollout and the way it informs health plans, insurers about what next steps are. I mean, I don't know how much health plans are going to be out there promoting this on their own, but I do imagine the governor and Democrats will be out there alerting people. And certainly, you know, a lot of LGBT rights groups have been out there advocating for this, groups, you know, that are speaking up for people that traditionally might not have had access to this kind of care.
So, Dustin, what other bills jumped out at you? What else did the governor act on that maybe says something about where California is headed?
Yeah, one other theme that really jumped out to me at the end of this bill signing season was what I would call the governor's resistance to so-called nanny state bills, legislation that could be framed by Republicans as California overreach, legislation that Republicans have attacked, saying that it, you know, kind of speaks to the state's big government reputation. One of them was that the governor vetoed a bill to require warnings on gas stoves. These would be health warnings, warning consumers about the potential health impacts to children and pets related to asthma and respiratory issues. He vetoed that. He said it was just too broad and that, you know, it was written so narrowly that it didn't allow the regulations to evolve as scientific research evolves around the effects of gas stoves. Another one in the same lane was a bill related to speed warning devices in vehicles. There was a bill that would have required new cars starting in the year 2030 to have warning systems, like a beeping warning system to alert drivers if they're driving more than 10 miles per hour over the speed limit. Newsom vetoed that, and he said that, you know, it's the type of regulation better handled by federal officials. But he had earlier signaled that he was probably going to be headed in that direction, saying that he didn't want to take action on legislation that he thought could give Republicans fodder in an election year, especially fodder to make that argument that California is a nanny state.
So he kind of does want to look a little more tough on these things than the kind of stereotypical California that is always, you know, striving for safety at the cost of maybe some other freedoms.
Yeah, exactly. I think this governor has shown that he's very sensitive to the state's reputation, and he's sensitive to how things that happen here affect Democrats across the country. And, you know, I don't think it's any coincidence that his friend and ally Kamala Harris is the top of the presidential ticket. And if California is taking action on bills that can be, you know, cast in that nanny state, big government sort of lens, I think there is concern around within the governor's circle that those things could hurt Democrats across the country.
You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. If you're just joining us, we're talking with Dustin Gardner from California's Politico Playbook about new laws and other news in Sacramento politics. So, Dustin, I can't believe that I'm going to bring up the 2026 governor's race. I'm surprised we're talking about this, where it's before the November election. We've got 2 years, but that race already has some polling. And there was recently a debate with those who have declared their candidacy. Can you remind our listeners who's in the race so far and how it's shaping up?
I mean, really, this is the hottest show in town. It's, yeah, more than 2 years away, but the 2026 race for governor is already, you know, just red hot. And it's an incredibly crowded field at this point. There's at least five declared Democrats in the race. You know, you've got Lieutenant Governor Lainey Kunalakis. You've got former Senate Pro Tem President Tony Atkins. You've got School Superintendent Tony Thurmond, former State Controller Betty Yee. But the really interesting thing about the polling that we saw earlier this week is that none of them really seem to have a ton of traction at this point. And the person who's polling the highest right now is someone who hasn't even said that she wants to run for the seat. And that is Congresswoman Katie Porter. She just ran for the U.S. Senate, lost that in the primary to Adam Schiff. And, you know, she hasn't said what her future holds, but she has high name ID from having been on the ballot in the Senate primary. But it's just, you know, really interesting that she's so far at the head of the pack, and all these people that have been in the race for a couple of months or longer don't seem to be getting much traction yet.
Well, probably some good umph for Porter's people to say, hey, you might really consider throwing your hat in, huh?
Yeah, I mean, I suspect, but we really just don't have any tea leaves to suggest at this point what she's going to do. She leaves Congress at the end of the year because she ran for Senate and didn't win that seat. And she said she's going to go back to teaching law. And I guess we'll see what the future holds. It's a very wide open field at this point. The other big Democrat who kind of stood out in this early poll was Rob Bonta, the state attorney general. He's widely expected to be looking at running for governor, though he is not officially announced. He is the second place Democrats behind Katie Porter. And then there's a whole pack of Republicans who are kind of in the middle between the two of them. California has about a third of Californians are Republicans. So if whoever, sort of consolidates that base will also probably have at least a decent chunk of early support.
Well, I know after this November election, all you politicos are really going to be talking about the governor's race for the next couple of years. So we'll be sure to have you on and stay apprised of that one. Dustin, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Dustin Gardner is co-author of Politico's California Playbook. We've been breaking down the bills signed into law last month and hitting on all things California politics. Next up, we'll talk about the importance of voting and break down the terminology with an Election Literacy 101. You're listening to Insight on CAP Radio, where facts matter and stories inspire. I'm Alan Young.